I like somewhat interactive audience and congregation. So the first thing I'm going to ask you to do is say, hi.
Hi.
Really? Are you excited to be here with everybody that's here today?
Hi.
Okay, I want everybody to turn and look at the camera. Turn and look at the camera and say hi to everybody, the three people who are watching online, okay? Hi, everybody. Okay, good. All right. Okay, the next thing I want you guys to do while I get everything set up here is I'd like you to think of the person who was significant in leading you into a relationship with God.
Something went wrong. Please try again.
Yeah. Keep going. Okay, I want you to think of that. Take 30 seconds while I get this going. And go from there. So think of that person. Who was that person that was significant in bringing you into a deep faith in the Lord? Think of that person. Okay, now what I'd like you to do is stand up. Stand up. For those of you who can. And I'd like you to turn around. And as somebody who's not a spouse or a family member, I would like you to turn around and tell those people who that person was and why. You got 30 seconds or so to do that. Don't spend a half an hour yet. Come on, everybody. You know, if I don't see anybody, I'm going to walk up to you and put the mic on you. Here's Sylvia. Turn around. Talk to Sylvia. Sylvia. James, did you tell him yet? Tell James who led you to the Lord. Okay, has everybody got that? You shared it at least with one person? Great. Once you've done that, you can sit down again. I didn't ask who led you to the Lord. I said, who is the most significant person? You could be on that road now. Okay, let's move on. You guys see these signs that are up here and at the back? Do you know what they really represent? You've seen them every week. Do you know what they represent? About 5 years ago, our church spent in our small groups. If you're not part of a small group, you should be, because that's, as Benny keeps exuberantly saying every so often, that is the heartbeat and lifeblood of our church, is our small groups. It's where we grow together, it's where we laugh together, it's where we meet together, it's where we care for one another. And if anything per se was to happen in our society where we can't meet as a large church body, those are the people that we are significant with and who will help us sustain our Christian life. But about 5 years ago, Pastor Shannon and myself as the small group's leader, we found a program that helped us to identify how to share our story. This all comes from a material, and if you go to our church website, that material is all still in our website. It's on. You can find material there on how to share your faith and go from there. But it's from a book that Pastor Shannon read, and I read, and several of us who've been in that small group read also. It was called T4T, and it was developed by a Chinese missionary working in Asia named Ying Kai, who realized that typical Christian men and women had four questions or challenges that kept them from being effective partners in winning the lost to Christ. These questions were fundamental to every Christian. What do I say? Who do I say it to? Why should I do this? And what do I do if they say yes? The first question Ying discovered among them was, what do I say? What do I say to a person that might lead them onto a deeper journey in faith in Christ? Ying's answer? Tell them your story. Your story is unique. It consists of three parts. Your life before Jesus, how you met Jesus, and your life since Jesus. We taught in our small groups, in those small groups, how to share your faith in any circumstance to anybody in 3 minutes. Everyone has a story. We just don't know how the Holy Spirit is going to use it. The great thing about your story is that no one can refute it. It is your story. Who do I tell my story to? Well, the answer to that is, it is God's will for you to win and influence your family, your friends, and your neighbors to Christ. Just after I became a Christian in, I think it was grade 10, here's a question I was going to ask you. How many of you have been a Christian for at least 5 years? Put your hand up. Okay. How many of you have been a Christian for at least 10 years? Put your hand up. Good. 20 years. Oh, wow, we're doing good. 30. Now it gets interesting. 40. 50. I got one more year and then I'll be 50. 60. Awesome. It all started with somebody who influenced you into your relationship with Jesus. A few years after I became a Christian, I got involved and went to Bible school, stuff like that. And one of the things that influenced me the most was a comic book. And that comic book shaped the rest of my Christian ministry and how I operate and share the gospel. And then to my delight, I found out just recently that they had made a movie out of it. We're going to watch that movie. If it influences one of you, then it's worth it. And then we'll close with some other remarks there. So if you want to go ahead and play that, that'd be great.
The idea really began that night 3 years ago when we were all sitting around in George and Ethel Griscom's backyard. We had just finished a big barbecue, and there wasn't much to do but swat mosquitoes and watch the fireflies. Anyhow, we got to talking about how to reach people with the gospel. Of course, we all knew the usual ways, but we were trying to think of something special when all of a sudden, it happened.
What do you know? Look! A blimp! I haven't seen one of those fly over here for years.
Well, that's because they don't use them much anymore. The Navy cut their appropriation for blimps.
Dear, do you think there's enough light for a picture?
Sure there is. You can see all right, can't you? Well, so can the camera.
Hey, Charlie, what are you doing? What are you doing? There's the blimps over there, Charlie.
No, let him alone. You are now watching Charles R. Stebbins in action.
Just don't show a blimp. You've got to create a little atmosphere. Then you show the blimp.
Where's the blimp,
hey, Charlie? Put that away, Charlie. Now, what was I talking about?
Oh, were you talking?
You were talking about reaching people with the gospel, Herm.
Yes, that's it, Charlie. Well, as I was saying, we've got to face it. As Christians, we have a mission to reach the lost. Now, how do we go about it? Now, you take those people that live over there next door to George and Ethel. You can tell right off they're not Christians. Now, if there were only somebody...
Herm, for goodness sake, keep your voice down.
Well, Herm's right. They're not Christians. They belong to a church, but they only go on Christmas and Easter. Other Sundays, they sit around, read the paper, work in the yard. In a few weeks, they'll be going to the shore every weekend until Labor Day. Ethel and I sure wish they could be reached with the gospel.
Well, as I said, there's the problem. Now, any suggestions?
bad the blimp didn't carry a sign. They stopped what they were doing and looked up at it.
Yes, they did. Potato chips, anyone?
Hey, you may have something there. Have you seen blimps with signs trailing, drink Pepsi-Cola, and Chevrolet is first? Say, Volkswagen sales are really increasing. Well, you know, I read just the other day... Why not have a blimp with a Bible verse trailing? I can see it now. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name.
I can see it, too. World's first vertical blimp, going straight up and down.
Stop making fun, George. We could get a shorter verse.
I think it's a terrific idea. Everybody would get the gospel at the same time.
Except blind people and children who can't read.
Nothing is perfect, and it just might work.
But wouldn't it be awfully expensive? I mean, buying it and blowing it up and everything?
Say, isn't it about time for the Maxie Belden show?
Well, who wants to go and watch TV in a night like this? Well, I guess everybody else is going in. I may as well, too.
And that was the beginning of the whole thing. I thought you might like to see the pictures I took that night. I guess maybe they are kind of... But I felt these shots were sort of historic because it was such an important occasion. And I didn't miss anything either. I got the whole gang and the neighbors and the blimp. If it hadn't been for Herm, the whole idea probably would have dropped right then and there. But one day at our businessmen's fellowship luncheon, he brought it up for discussion and presented his idea on it. Herm's got a lot of drive. And, well, the men could see right away what a tremendous idea it was. And then old Mr. Jensen gave us a plot of land just outside of town for a hangar. that's my boy Tommy there. We got letterheads printed up right away, of course, and started letting people know just what we were doing by sending out newsletters. We still didn't know for sure if we could get a blimp. But we went ahead on faith anyway and started to build. It was wonderful to see how people really started getting behind the project with their gifts. And we knew that our step of faith had been honored when we finally got a letter from a surplus dealer saying he'd located one operational 200-foot lighter-than-air ship. Boy, that's when the work really began. Every night in a week, except Sunday, of course. The only time I saw my kids was at breakfast. And that was the year we celebrated Christmas 5 days late. Well... At least the tree didn't cost anything. There were a million things to decide, like the name, for instance. We'd all been calling it Gospel Blimp. But we decided to make it Blimps, in case the idea should spread, you know. Then Herm decided we'd better incorporate, otherwise we'd be personally responsible, for the finances, that is. Then Herm got to thinking about the idea spreading. He said, well, if it might spread, why not be sure and take care of all eventualities from the start? And so we did. Boy, that blimp was a beauty. Herm said it reminded him of a perfect sausage. Oh, it was right about this time that Herm quit his job in the meatpacking plant to go full-time with IGBI. One thing about Herm, he was willing to sacrifice. Boy, was that blimp ever big. And as it moved restlessly in the wind that day, you could just feel it was waiting to get up there in the sky and start preaching the gospel. Well, it was a great day. Everybody was there. The mayor gave a speech. The mayor's the first dignitary I ever photographed. I was a little bit nervous, but I think I got a pretty good shot of him. Even the mayor seemed to notice my work. And then the head of the local ministerium association brought greetings. Of course, that was before the persecution. But the thousands of people who turned out that day were really waiting for the big moment, the christening. And finally, it came. That's Herm's little girl there with the bottle. And that's 7-Up in the bottle. Now, here we go.
One simple but brilliant trick.
Well, she's all dedicated, and tomorrow we fly. Yeah, men, it's been a long pull.
You think we have enough firebombs here, do you, Herm?
No, you better keep rolling, Charlie. How many do you think we have, George?
About 2,000, I think.
Good firebombs. Boy, that's a great name for them, Herm.
They do sort of look like fire when you get a whole bunch of them together.
It'll be like a revival fire coming down out of the sky. Say, they won't hurt anyone if they hit them on the head, will they, Herm?
No, I checked that out. All right, men, let's go over the old checklist. Now, let's see. George, how about the map?
We'll have it.
All right, compass?
We'll have it.
Telescope?
We'll have it.
Weather?
We'll have it. I mean, it's been checked out, Herm.
Provender?
Provender?
He means food.
George will drop the thermos and the lunch is off on the way to work.
Check. Well, I guess that's about it. Anything I've forgotten?
Parachute.
Parachute.
Isn't that me?
I'll go. Oh, hello. Come on in. By the way, thanks for doing my lawn.
Don't mention it. Oh, say, I didn't realize you had company. Next door neighbor.
No, perfectly all right. What can I do for you?
Well, Doris and I are going to the beach next Saturday, and we wondered if you and Ethel might not like to join us. We'd like to have you if you can make it.
Well, say, that's very nice, but I'm terribly sorry. These are pretty busy days for us around here, you know. On Saturday morning, we've got a breakfast prayer meeting. On Saturday afternoon, we have a full IGBI committee meeting. And I'm afraid we just can't fit it in.
But thanks very much.
Sorry you can't make it. Maybe next time. Bye.
Boy, if only we can reach them through this thing, it'll be worthwhile. All that time and money?
In a way, they're the reason we started this whole thing, aren't they?
But it can't fail. They can read, can't they? Well, tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock sharp, they're going to see the gospel in the sky right up over their house. I promise you, George, as General Director of International Gospel Blimps Incorporated, and not only your next-door neighbors, but the whole block. My block. In fact, every block in the city. But we'll start with your block, George. Somehow it only seems right.
What verse are you going to use first, Herm?
Oh, that would be telling, Charlie. But you'll see bright and early tomorrow morning. Well, everybody, I think we better call it a night.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, Charlie.
Say, did you manage to get time off from work tomorrow?
Yeah, I had no trouble.
Good boy. You be sure to get a good shot of that blimp up over George and Ethel's house. Okay, boy?
I got up bright and early and got the shot of the blimp like Herm told me to. There it was, pulling those big, beautiful letters. Why, the gospel could be seen for blocks. I guess maybe it was too early for anyone to be out looking at it. So I decided to get some crowd reaction shots at noontime when Herm brought the blimp downtown during lunch hour. I took a shot out the office window, and still nobody was looking up. Little did I realize, we were almost finished with the blimp at that very moment. It seems that Herm and that pilot we'd hired had been just cruising along over the rooftops when all of a sudden there was this tremendous jolt. Next thing they knew, they were losing altitude, but fast. It must have been a frightening experience. And there was this poor woman making her bed when, all of a sudden, all the lights from outside was extinguished. Boy, it seemed like everybody in town was there, including the men from the TV station.
I know how to get cats out of trees and kids out of locked bathrooms, but this is the first time in my life I've ever had to get two guys off a blimp, and I tell you, it's the biggest waste of the taxpayers' money, and these guys are a bunch of...
Herm said he used some other language, too, which was a good opportunity for a witness. But we learned a lesson that first day. This job couldn't be done overnight. And we knew there'd be opposition. After all, the enemy had already tried to ruin the blimp. So we started prayer meetings for the safety of the blimp and those whose lives would be constantly endangered by flying it. After the rip was repaired, Herm got the thing running on a regular schedule. We had to let the first pilot go. He was sort of undependable. But we really got a wonderful replacement, a young married fellow who'd been considering the mission field. In fact, he'd applied for Africa or somewhere. But with his wife's help, we convinced him that this was much more strategic. And we let him use Saturday afternoons as mission time. Believe me, it sure was a thrill to see that big old blimp cruising along with a verse you could read a mile off. Somehow you just knew that people were going to be reached by the gospel blimp. Well, if we couldn't get people to look up any other way, we always had the firebombs, these little gospel tracts we wrapped in cellophane and put in baskets for the commander to drop from the blimp. He called this the moment of truth. Oh, Herm thought we should call him Commander now. Seemed a little more dignified. The kids were real excited over the bombs. I think someone started the rumor there was bubble gum in them. But we knew the gospel was getting into places it had never been before. After a few weeks, the excitement sort of died down. But whenever we got a new tract, the commander made sure he always dumped some on George's next-door neighbor's lawn. The commander never forgot. Not that the Griscoms had any encouragement to report along that line.
No, there's nothing new, Charlie. Nothing new so far as her getting saved is concerned. But she hasn't been well. I think she's in the hospital. We see him over there eating alone at night. Always a bottle of beer, sometimes two.
I wonder what hospital she's in.
I don't know. I'll tell George you were here for the power drill. Say, how's the sound system coming?
Oh, we got a few bugs to work out yet, but we're almost ready to roll.
You know, the Woman's Auxiliary is concerned about shut-ins and blind people, children who can't read yet, and people who are nearsighted. Are you sure they're going to be able to hear it?
Are you kidding? Why, with 100-watt output and 3-cone speakers, they'll be able to hear it anywhere, even in the basement.
Now hear this. Good evening, people of Middletown. This is Commander Hermanson speaking to you from the Gospel Lift. We trust that each and every one of you will truly enjoy our program this evening. Now listen, while our youth time chorus, made up of boys and girls from your community, sing, I have the joy, 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 joy down in my heart.
We made the newspapers next morning, and we were really thrilled with that. One of the papers was a bit critical, though. An editorial called the right to peace and quiet. But even that kind of opposition pretty much died out when we agreed to turn the volume down. People came to accept the blimp. Fact is, there was a sort of a community pride about it. We still had a new thing or two up our sleeves, like the different language nights we had for the foreign sections of town. But it was on one of these foreign language nights that the roof really fell in. Oh, boy. No one knows how it happened, not even the FCC. But all of a sudden, on everybody's TV set, on the Maxie Belden show of all things, the picture was Maxie Belden, all right. But the sound was coming from the blimp in Polish.
Którą przygotowaliśmy dla was, dadzą wam zadowolenie. Dobry wieczór państwu. Witamy was z okazji tego specjalnego programu, który przygotowany został dla naszych przyjaciół.
You see what's happening on TV? It's terrible.
Program otwieramy znaną pieśnią Daj mi religię z dawnych lat.
I'm sorry. Goodbye.
Śpiewa jeden z waszych sąsiadów, pan Jan Rutko.
Hello.
Oto on.
No, the commander's not here. I'm sorry. Goodbye.
Daj mi z dawnych lat religią, daj mi z dawnych lat religią, daj mi z dawnych lat religią. Ona mi wystarczy dobra, chyba dla Izraela dobra, chyba dla Izraela dobra.
Excuse me, hello. I'm sorry.
Ona sprawia, że kochasz, ona sprawia, że kochasz, ona sprawia.
Shut that thing off!
Kochasz, ona mi wystarczy.
Hey, turn that thing off!
Bag out of the air.
Now to summarize. One, I have engaged the services of Mr. Waterman here as our Director of Public Relations. Two, we get a new pilot. Three, that PA system has got to go. We certainly don't want a repetition of what happened last night. Now, let's get our chins up off the floor, men. We'll get the victory. Now, any questions?
Herm, that statement of yours in the paper.
Yes, George?
Well, Herm, you didn't really say that, did you?
Well, yes, George, substantially.
But, Herm, it says, I want to express my sincere regret that I had to be out of town last evening when certain irresponsible actions of International Gospel Blimps Incorporated came to an unfortunate climax. If I had been there, this never would have happened. I promise there will never be a repetition of last night's fiasco. Well, you really didn't say that, did you, Herm?
I wonder if I could put in a word here, Commander. I'd like to explain why we issued that statement. You see, it's hard to sell an idea, or a corporation, even a non-profit one. It's much easier to sell a man, especially a man like the Commander here. Once you sold the people on the man who represents the idea, then you've got to see to it that they never lose confidence in him. Now, they can lose confidence in the idea and the corporation. And with all due respect to you fine men, they can even lose confidence in the members of the board. But there's one person in whom they must never lose confidence. And that is the Commander, the symbol of IGBI.
So you decided to sell the rest of us down the river?
Now, that's not fair, George, if you don't mind my saying so. Which is more important, you or the blimp? After all, George, you have more at stake in this than the rest of us. It's your next-door neighbor we've been giving special attention to. I've asked for no special thanks from you for all that I've done. As a matter of fact, I've sacrificed a great deal without much appreciation. And when something like this comes along, you can hardly blame me for expecting just a bit of loyalty from you fellows.
Actually, it was a godsend that the Commander was out of town last night. Now, if he had been here, everybody would have known that he couldn't do any more than anyone else to correct the situation. And at all costs, we must preserve the image of the Commander as a man that's in complete control in every situation.
Would you lie to do that?
That's a nasty word, George. And it's hardly a Christian attitude. I think we ought to be mighty grateful for the fine job Bill Waterman did.
Well, I guess there's nothing more to discuss, is there?
Just this. Now, sit down a minute. Now, if any of you fellas aren't happy with the way that I've been running things, well, for the sake of our testimony as a Christian organization, I think you should carefully reconsider your position on the board. Nobody is indispensable. That's all, men.
We were sorry to lose George, but as Herm said, he just didn't fit in with the group anymore. Well, that's progress. First thing that public relations man did was make Herm grow a beard. He said it would help his image. You had to hand it to that PR guy. He really knew his stuff. And like Herm said, he always knew what was right. More and more, he built up the Commander in the public eye as the personification of the blimp. He made sure everything Herm did was news, like dropping a million firebombs. And we made the newspapers and even the magazines all the time.
How to open...
Got Herm interviewed on television, coast to coast. As I stood in the wings taking these movie shots, I felt proud that I could be a small part of this great work. The PR man figured the Commander should live in a better neighborhood so he could start meeting people whose influence really counted. And of course, we had to move into new offices to keep up with Herm's new position. Herm had to spend most of his time that summer speaking at Bible conferences. He had quite a ministry, especially in getting young people to give their lives for full-time service. He talked a lot about sacrifice, how they shouldn't hold back, but go straight ahead, whatever the cost. He practiced what he preached. He was even willing to leave his family for long periods of time. It's easy to see why the Lord prospers a man like Herm, who is willing to make a sacrifice. Things couldn't have been going more beautifully, but there was one cause for concern.
What's the matter, Charlie?
I just saw George Griscom.
Oh, how is George?
I drove past his house on the way home. Thought I'd drop by and get him caught up on the blimp. He's on his way to the shore with that neighbor fellow.
Ethel, too?
No, just George and that fellow. I'm a little worried about George. I'm sure there was beer in that cooler. You know how it is when you get away from Christian fellowship with a worldly crowd.
Oh, George is all right, Charlie.
I don't know. I think we better bring him up for prayer at Sunday's meeting. At any rate, I'm sure glad he's not on the board anymore. Say, just one guy who's not living a separated life to put that blimp on the skids. Just one guy. Hearn thought I should throw this picture of him away, but I kept it because it turned out to be prophetic. It was this very day he was playing golf at the country club, and the blimp accidentally flew over. The pilot wasn't supposed to fly over the club. Herm said the distraction bothered the golfers. But this one day, the pilot must have forgotten, and the blimp went over anyhow. Herm was playing with the head of Dunleavy Sanders Advertising Agency and the director of the Chamber of Commerce and the treasurer of National Steel. And these men had been looking for a chance to talk to Herm because they thought the blimp was a good idea, but the Wee had been taking full advantage of it. They said if we would only make the blimp available to other groups, it could ease our load financially. Of course, when Herm presented these ideas to the board, they didn't want to change the blimp. People might think it was a compromise. But Herm said it wasn't a question of compromise, just a new emphasis. And after all, why couldn't the blimp carry two signs as well as one? These men wanted to help the community, just like we did. And these signs might give us some real status in the community. Besides the fact that the finances would be a big help to the blimp's ministry. Well, that convinced the board members. And that was the beginning of the new gospel blimp. George didn't know it, but we were watching him. I took this picture as a reminder of how far away you can get from the basic principles of the blimp. It was a mystery to us how he could spend so much time with that unconverted neighbor. His life looked pretty shabby. But things were going great for us. Herm saw to it that the board was enlarged so our new friends could be included on it. They had all sorts of practical help, like the latest word on projected donations and business trends and other factors like market research and motivational studies, so our choice of verses could be positive, not hit or miss anymore. When you come right down to it, about all we'd done before was pray about it. But from then on, the blimp was really organized. We finally found a way to attract attention without offending anyone. And then George called and invited us all over, said something about his neighbor.
You remember, the thing that got us to thinking about evangelizing our city was our next-door neighbors. They were sitting right over there that night.
So that's why you asked us over here. That was exactly 3 years ago tonight.
Well, that wasn't the only reason. In the past 3 years, there's been a lot of prayer that these neighbors have become Christians. Tonight, we invited you here because, well, to cut it short, God has answered our prayers. They're Christians now.
Well, terrific. What verse of scripture was it?
Was it a firebomb?
Was it while the PA system was being used?
Was the verse in electric lights?
It wasn't the blimp.
Oh, you mean the blimp didn't save you. The Lord saved you.
No, I mean God didn't use the blimp. Listen, I can't tell you how many times I cussed out that blasted blimp. The trash on the lawn, in the rain gutters.
But we were praying so hard. Certainly God must have used the blimp some way.
He did, but not in the way you think. It was really George and Ethel he used. But not while they were spending all their time on the blimp. But we've already told them. I guess we can tell you. We thought they were lousy neighbors.
Lousy neighbors? You should have heard them pray for you at our prayer meetings.
We did. But we still thought they were lousy neighbors. Like, we'd invite them over for an evening, have tickets for a hockey game or something. But no matter what it was, they never had the time. They only had time for the blimp.
He's right.
Sorry, George. I didn't mean to make it so strong.
No, don't back down. That's exactly the way we were.
But we're glad you're not just neighbors now, but friends.
Well, we don't want to keep you too long. We promised you we'd break up early.
Oh, wait a minute, George. I haven't told him how we became Christians.
Oh, yes, you have.
Oh, no, wait a minute, George. Let's hear what he has to say.
It won't take long. And, well, there's something else I want you to know. The last thing in the world I want you to do is leave thinking that we're criticizing George and Ethel. Why, they've been Christ himself to us ever since that second time Doris went to the hospital.
Ethel came to see me every day. I was really terribly discouraged. But she'd bring some flowers from the garden. And she'd sit and talk to me, and sometimes just listen. She'd read to me, and she talked about Jesus Christ.
I'd never met anyone before to whom he was real. I know it seems strange, but I hadn't.
I was feeling pretty low, too. But George and Ethel had me over for dinner every night. And I was struck by the same thing. They were sold on being Christians. They weren't just putting on a show for my benefit. Like just before Doris came home from the hospital.
Man, our house was a disaster area. Ethel came in the day before, and she gave it the going over of its life.
And for a month after I came home, she did all my washing and ironing.
That's about it. Well, we could tell you more. Well, like the times George went down to the beach with me on Saturday, even when he knew I had beer in the cooler. Well, I knew how he felt about drinking, but he wasn't a holy Joe about it. You know, if you had been, I probably never would have been interested in doing anything with it. We'd probably never become Christians.
Well, that certainly is interesting. Well, I've got a big day tomorrow. I've got to plant some shrubs around the hangar. I think we'd better be going now.
It's been quite an evening. Thanks so much, Ethel.
Wonderful to find that God has answered prayer. He never fails, does he?
Say, if you don't have anything important to do tomorrow, how about coming out to the hangar and working on the blimp with us?
Well, thanks, Charlie, but I do have something important to do tomorrow. George and I are going bowling with the guy across the street.
Oh. That makes a little bit of an impact in that sometimes what we think is important isn't. The thing that led me to the Lord and got me invested was relationship. It wasn't programs, wasn't things like that. It was really important. The young guy I met in high school at our TV studio in the school became a friend. He invited me out to do things with him, and from that developed into a relationship with him, with some others. I'm still in contact with that guy 50 years later. He's in the ministry. The other good friend of mine Hank, he teaches at Regent College in leadership. We've all had an impact on how relationships build into people's lives. So when it comes to sharing your faith, we just have to become friends with people. When I left Canadian Bible College, when I finally graduated, and I left, and I had an old clunker of a car, and I was a little worried, am I going to make it home? And I prayed, Lord, you know, help me to get home. You know, as we do, and help us, you know, travel mercies and everything. And then just after that, I said, you know, if I was to die on the way home, it was a little bit better car than I'm thinking, but what would my impact have been? And I could look back on several relationships. And this, as corny as this may look and presented, some of the things that it said in there about developing and leading people to the Lord is not throwing gospel tracts at them. It's not harassing them with Bible knowledge and scripture. It was just being a friend. How many have seen the movies recently, The Jesus Revolution? Should. It's a good movie. Maybe not perfectly accurate, but it's got a lot of great points in it. One of the things in there is the main character was asked, the guy who was doing all the preaching, he says, why did he start to learn to preach the gospel? And he said, I am using a mic right here. So you want to turn it up for her? Why did Lenny start preaching the gospel? Because he said they were desperate people. They were desperate and trying to fulfill themselves with drugs and music, rock and roll, things like that, communal living. And after I watched the movie, I saw that and I thought, you know, we live in a society with a lot of desperate people. It's just that today they don't hang out, do drug sex and rock and roll for the most part. They stay at home,
watching YouTube, social media, video games. They're isolated. We just don't see them. They're not involved until crises happen. We need to be involved in our neighbors' lives. Jesus is our hope, our provider, our comforter. He gives us purpose. We need to share that. It's never too late to invest and share. There's no such thing as being retired in God's kingdom as far as ministry and sharing our lives are concerned. We need to be invested. We need to get involved. We need to share our life with others. We need to share our faith in life with others. We need to be intentional. Don't be preachy. Be a friend. Christ does not need us to be perfect, eloquent, dynamic, attractive. He just needs us to be obedient and open in sharing our relationship with him. We need to be involved in other people's lives. The mic is no louder than this, Sylvia. It is a mic right here. So, what I'd like to, we have an excellent opportunity this summer as things slow down, our programs and stuff die down, to share and get to know our neighbors, to become friends. We don't know who we're going to touch and who we're going to influence, but we need to be involved. I was going to say one of the biggest things, reasons why I was involved in many things as a young person is we got to meet other people. Be involved. Become friends. Who knows? One of them might turn out to be a spouse eventually, if you need that. So the last question, the last thing I wanted to say is, what do we do if a person says yes? As I mentioned before, on our church website, we have the T4T material there. If you need, I got to share, somebody wants to know the gospel, we have it there on the church website. If you want to go through and learn how to share your faith and your story in 3 minutes, that material's there. And if we have enough interest this fall, we might lead a class in lifestyle evangelism discipleship. So it's there, it's available. If you want to talk and share with me or any of the board members or Pastor Shannon when he gets back, then we can certainly do that. Since giving my life to Christ, I've developed some truly fantastic relationships, had some truly great experiences and challenges and regrets, some heartaches, disappointments, grief, maybe even some depression, but it's all been worth it. It's just not what I expected. All of this because a young guy in high school became a friend. And almost 50 years later, I'm standing here saying, it's all worth it. Okay, Doug in the band. Where's the band? The boys. So you can come on up. We're going to sing one last song. But that's what I have to share today. I was going to give my full-blown testimony, and then the Lord said, no, we're going to change that, just like Pastor Shannon says. Works all week on something, and then next thing you know, the Lord says change. So I hope this is a reminder. We just need to be involved.